Dave, are you ready? It's almost time. We start recording the first episode of this year's Summer Film Fest in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'll be right there. Just give me a minute, okay?
Sure, boss. Just take your time.
I can't do it.
What you talking about, Stallion?
Who's there?
Are you seriously going to sit there and tell me that this year's Summer Film Fest is off?
Wait, Cody? Is that you? Where are you?
I'm right here, Dave.
What the hell? Are you dead? Why do you look like a force ghost?
I ain't no damn force ghost, fool. I astral projected myself here because I sensed you were in need of a motivational speech.
Well, it's gonna have to be some speech. Because I just can't do this anymore. I've lost the juice.
Stop talking crazy, Dave. You've overseen some of the best summer movie content in this sector.
That was then. This is now. After how bad last year's Summer Film Fest turned out, I think it proves I don't have what it takes anymore.
Look, man, I know you're all messed up from botching last year's promotion. I mean, Catwoman and Madam Web. Yeah, you lost your edge. You got lazy. You got complacent. You got so comfortable in thinking you were the best that you felt like you could just drop a turd like last year and no one would bat an eye.
I thought you were supposed to be motivating me.
Well, sometimes to motivate someone, you gotta yell at them a lot and point out their failures, fool. Don't you know how this works? How about it, Dave? Are you gonna just sit there and wallow in sadness? Or are you gonna be a man and step up? Come on, what's your problem, video man? You lose your nerve? You get tired of watching movies all day? Damn it, man! What the hell's the matter with you?
I'm afraid! Is that what you want to hear? I'm afraid! I'm scared shitless that I'm gonna let people down again! You know what? Why don't you take those short shorts and that whistle and piss off back to whatever 80s workout video you came from?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about, David. That's the fire. That's the juice you've been missing. Remember how good you felt after Summer Film Fest Part 2? Dirty Dancing, Speed, Point Break? Man, you had that eye of the programmer. Now you gotta get it back.
But how?
By putting on a tight-fitting shirt, squeezing yourself into some 80s jogging shorts, and listening to a musical montage that'll set up this summer's theme.
A montage? Of course! That's brilliant! Thanks, Cody. You really saved the day, man.
And one more thing. When this is all over, you're gonna owe me a favor. Got it?
Sure. Okay. Oh, I don't have any 80s jogging shorts, though.
That's okay, Dave. You can borrow mine.
Whoa. This is, like, mentally irregular.
Imagine traveling back to a time before the internet, before Mountain Dew Livewire, and before the Neo post-apocalypse. This summer, Apocalypse Video asked the question, where were you in 1982?
I mean, what happened? How did everything that was so good get so bad?
A time when men were men.
I got nowhere else to go! I got nowhere else to go!
Women were women.
You gotta be fucking kidding.
And mice could talk.
My son Timothy is so sick.
Join us all summer long as we celebrate the box office hits and misses of 1982. The time is May 28th, 1982. Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder on the top of the charts with Ebony and Ivory. And former underdog Sylvester Stallone is about to release a film that will kick off a summer movie season like no other. The film is Rocky III, and it's about to go the distance. Now.
Now, when we fought, you had that eye of the tiger, man, the edge. And now you got to get it back. And the way to get it back is to go back to the beginning. You know what I mean?
United Artists and Chartoff Winkler proudly present Rocky III.
The worst thing happened to you that could happen to any fighter. You got civilized.
Get out of here with you!
The truth is, we both started out on the same corner, and I got lucky with my life, and it's driving you nuts.
Philadelphia salutes its favorite son, Rocky Balboa.
Hey, why don't you tell all these nice folks why you've been ducking me?
This guy is a wrecking machine.
You know, you've got a big mouth.
Why don't you come out and close it, Balboa? Come on.
I want to fight this guy.
You'll fight him without me.
Balboa was a fine champion, but his time has passed.
See that look in their eyes, Rock? Gotta get that look back, Rock. Eye the tiger, come on.
I will destroy any man who tries to take what I got. I'm gonna torture him. I'm gonna crucify him real bad.
For the first time in my life, I'm afraid.
Damn, Rock, come on!
There's nothing wrong with being afraid.
You thought I was tough? This jump will kill you.
You wake up after a few years thinking you're a winner, but you're not.
There is no tomorrow.
You're really a loser.
Well, I don't believe it.
There is no tomorrow.
It's Rocky's greatest challenge to save his honor, his marriage, and his manhood. Against his most devastating and dangerous opponent.
I'll bust you up.
Go for it.
Sylvester Stallone, Talia Shire, Burgess Meredith, Carl Weathers, Burt Young, and introducing Mr. T. Rocky III, an American tradition.
Michael, before we start the podcast today, do you have a prediction for how the Summer Film Fest will go this year?
At 34 years old, it's unlikely Dave can launch a comeback.
My prediction? Pain.
That's great.
But the good kind of pain, the pain you feel after you get a good pump, you know, like Arnold always talks about, you know, you get training, you do some montages and yeah, you feel good. And that's how I feel watching this movie. I feel good. I don't know about you guys, but all right. I'm your host and I'm your prize fighter, Dave. I'm joined again by my fellow fighters, Jackie.
You're all parasites and leeches. Get out of here.
I'm also joined by this fool over here, Ryan.
Dave, hard words for a hard man.
And finally, Michael, who's recently gotten a statue erected in the store in his honor.
What?
How did everything that was so good get so bad?
And that's one of those lines that really makes you think.
And that's what I was saying to myself after last year's Film Fest. When we were done watching Madam Web, I was in the back in the locker room, just, you know, my head in my hands, just like, how did we get here?
Your face is bleeding.
But after watching Rocky III, I think the Summer Film Fest is going to go a lot better, guys. This movie, well, first of all, before we get into it, was this anyone's first time with Rocky III?
This is my first non-Rocky movie. I mean, I've seen...
Wait, what? What?
It's my first... other than the original Rocky?
I've only seen Rocky, and I have seen Rocky Balboa.
Wow. Okay.
You phrased Creed? That really weird.
Oh, I saw Creed. I did see Creed. That's like its own thing, though.
Yeah.
That's Rocky 7, right? Yeah. Rocky.
But I've never seen Rocky 2. I've never seen a numbered Rocky. I've never seen a 2, a 3, or a 4.
I've waited the numbered Rockies.
I had never seen this one before, but I knew of basically every broad stroke of it from living on Earth.
Yeah.
And it rocked.
I mean, maybe it wasn't for the show, but we watched Rocky IV together one time, Dave. And
Two, three, and four, I didn't know the differences between them until you watched four. And then, because I seen them on TV. Because
you know what four is when you're watching it.
Yeah, and like, I think I'd like seen them all. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen five, but like.
You don't need to.
I mean, but maybe I copped a little bit of that on TV, but the two and three.
Those are the ones that play on TV.
Were kind of in my head, like, but I didn't know which one was which. And then, so this is probably the first time I've seen it, knowing. And then the thing is, it's crazy about this movie is it probably has the most Rocky iconography in it than all of them.
In the third one.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, besides the running up the steps, it's like, if you're thinking about Rocky, you're thinking about this one. Probably.
Like, I don't think people realize that Eye of the Tiger is a Rocky III song. I don't think
you know. You know, this is kind of crazy. The song that Stallone originally wanted for the movie was Another One Bites the Dust by Queen.
That's the vibe. Yeah, it's not what you want for I'm Gonna Win This.
Well, he picked the right one as he directed the movie. So, you know.
Yeah.
I guess.
So I guess he won.
I mean, that's probably the first thing we should get into, that song, Eye of the Tiger. Is this one of the best movie songs ever?
It's pretty fucking good, and it starts immediately with, like, fireworks going off in the background, and you're like, yeah, I'm on board.
I did see it was, like, you rarely get this, where, so they don't get Queen, so they're working with the band Survivor, and they didn't just like give them the song. They like wrote the song with the movie in mind, and it said they like the riff idea was like meant to kind of match like punching in a boxing match. So like that, I feel like you rarely get that where like you get a featured song where it. But it's like it's written. They're approaching it like a composer would for like the soundtrack in a way.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that Survivor put that work in. Good for them.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's the most punching song ever. I mean, I think I made a Dragon Ball Z music video to this song when I was high.
And Goku without even knowing this song,
without even probably even seeing the first Rocky, this song is what you think of. You know, yeah, boxing absolutely. Montage movie. And I do think the beginning of this movie is the best. I don't think it ever gets.
Previously on Rocky II.
Yeah, I don't think. Oh, that. And then it's like that. Then the montage of like Rocky is king of the world. And then credits. And I'm just kind of like, it's kind of it's an amazing start of a movie. It's a movie for. This is a movie like that. Like if I was in 1983, it was. Is that what we're doing? Year we're doing?
82.
Jesus, right.
Where were you in 82?
What year is it?
Were you in 82? I was thinking about 83.
What's my age again?
Well, if I was like 10 years old. Yeah, exactly. Like
Free in 1983.
Yeah. But what you're
that's
saying.
That's next year's summer film.
This perfect, opening montage of Rocky being king of the world, but also of Mr. T being like, oh, I'm hungry to kill and beat him, and you're just like, well, yeah, let's get into it.
I want Balboa. I want Balboa. You hear that, man? You tell my boy, come here, blood. Nobody can beat me. You tell him what I said. And he's next. I'm going to kill him. Nobody can stop me. You tell Balboa that. I'm coming after him. You tell him. I want a shot at the title. Balboa got the guts to meet me in the ring or anywhere else. My whole life's been directed towards this hill title and nothing else. I live alone and I train alone. I win the title alone. I want him. He can't duck me forever. He can run, but he can't hide.
This might have one of the best movie songs. I think honestly, this might have some of the best montages in movies. Like Ryan said,
and they
like,
give us a montage.
There's a lot of montages in this movie. Like that's something that Rocky is really known for. Mm-hmm. Is like the nobody does a montage better than Rocky Balboa.
The training montage,
of my favorite montages. Yeah,
but I will say, like, I was thinking, like, so as we said, the movie has an amazing opening. You know, you get the
Muppets,
and you know, it's. I love seeing words scroll across the screen slowly like that. And you see the belt, and you hear, and they start pumping in the sound of the fight from the last movie, and Rocky wins, and it's a very efficient montage because it tells you. I'm gonna say it. It shows. It doesn't tell. It shows and tells. I don't know.
It shows. it tells by showing. You need here. Yeah, here is Rocky at the very top of everything, and here is an antagonist who says, "I'm gonna be it's facing very, you."
It's very efficient, and I love the progression of it. You really get a sense of like Rocky's on top. He's also getting cocky. You start, like, he's bowing in the ring.
You get the thing where he's like winning the fights, and then all of a sudden, like, oh. He's doing like a brand deal, mm-hmm. and then it's like he's doing more brand deals.
He's on the Muppet show.
Yeah. I enjoyed also just all of the like Sylvester Stallone is obviously a huge player in Hollywood now after the first Rocky. Let's bring in all of that various footage of just
like they're very like in a funny meta way using what's clearly merch from the movies Rocky.
Yes,
from the Rocky movies to be like
look how big he is.
Yeah, to give the impression that Rocky, the character in this world, is like the most famous boxer who has ever lived. This is like Mike Tyson in the 90s.
But it's really great because like you see him at top. He's like, oh, I'm more interested in about signing autographs. And then it cuts to like Mickey watching this young up and coming fighter, Clubber Lang, played by Mr. T. Like, oh God, this guy's a monster. And the whole and you see the contrast of like what Rocky's up to. Mm-hmm. And then you got Mr. T just like literally it sounds like he's like.
Every time they show Mr. T working out, he's got like only like rope and he's like. Like screaming.
I swear,
and
I work alone.
I train alone.
He is training in like the Saw room, like a
it's
room.
Real,
from,
it's
like,
real Vegeta shit, you know?
Yes, it is.
Meanwhile, Rocky is he's got all the money in the world. We'll get into it, but every time they show like his massive wealth and like his palatial estate full of frilly curtains.
At one point, he's like driving his kid around in what looks like a Model T Ford.
Yeah, it's like a car for a kid, but it's like a luxury car for a kid kind of vibe.
And it's the only way to get around the estate.
They're like driving
through this from the east wing to the west wing of the house.
I was to go back just a bit about using like the IRL Rocky merch. Dave, did you tell the truth? Did you shed a tear when Polly destroyed the Rocky pinball table?
We'll get to that when we talk about
when we talk about Polly. We'll get to that.
Piece of shit. One of cinema's most loathsome characters.
Most low-life just scum.
God, that fucking guy. Anyway,
but when they showed the Rocky pinball table, Michael and I were both like, hey!
It looked like a cool arcade.
It did.
Too.
I bet Polly would be friends with Sheriff W. Pepper.
Oh. It was right next to the a Playboy pinball.
That's Dave's favorite pinball table, right?
No.
Hey, Dave, you're always
he
like,
plays
oh my
that
god,
pinball
it's so
machine for the
sexy.
Articles, you know?
Yeah.
One of the mini games that pops up at the Playboy table is a Hunter S. Thompson essay, and you're like, this is actually really good.
And you just read it at the pinball table.
It's
like,
really small text.
Yeah, you know, they had one of the best interviews with John Lennon.
It's fantastic. You really should check it out. Guess where were we? Rocky's like
enormous.
Well,
we were talking about the contrast between Rocky's life and Clubber's life.
I love to, in the montage, when we see Mickey, you know, following this young, hungry upstart, and then at a certain point, he turns to Mickey in the crowd, he's like, I see you, old man! You tell Rocky I'm coming!
Tell my boy I'm coming for him!
Mr. T,
I'm gonna kill him!
Mr. T is so good in this. I mean, if I can criticize, I suppose, I wouldn't even say criticize, but I'll just get ahead of the criticism, like, yes, a bit one note. Sure. Yeah.
But that note, impeccable.
It's all you need. Like, it's so good.
He really is, like, like you say, Ryan, like, he's Vegeta. He is, like... Yeah.
Kakarot!
He's here to cackle and...
Yeah, it said the introducing Mr. Serves... T also at the credits. I know.
Yeah, introducing Mr. T as Clubber Lang.
Well, we'll get to this, but is this where Pity the Fool comes from?
It must be.
Because him being introduced.
Like, or was it already a catchphrase?
Did Stallone like write Pity the Fool? Like,
Or did Mr. T improvise?
I get the feeling Mr. T wrote all of his lines.
Yeah, I know, but I'm like, that's kind of crazy. Because look. Mr. T's before our time, but I know the residuals of Mr. T, you know, but it became the joke, like on The Simpsons or on like a...
He had a cartoon.
Family Guy. Yeah, but it was all before us, I feel like, but we would just get like, you know, we saw on VH1 commercials with Mr. T that were like, they were talking about it on like I Love the 80s and stuff. So that's all
It would be like him doing like an after school like special about like, and that's why you gotta brush your teeth, kids. And
it's, come from this movie.
Wow.
It originated here.
So did Stallone write that, or is that a thing that he like is an improv? That's what I'm curious if like that's like,
or yeah, if he was just like, hey, people really liked when I said that, I'm gonna keep saying,
because it's a crazy thing if that's like straight dialogue that's in the script.
I mean,
like,
it was just in a piece of dialogue of, you know,
I just have a hard time imagining Sylvester Stallone writing any of Mr. T's lines. Like, it sounds like something he would have like improvised.
Yeah, like maybe it's just like, this is maybe he had like a thing like Mr. T is
Mr. T threatens
anyway.
Yeah, so we have the you know, hungry and wants to prove himself, Clubber Lang, and Rocky, meanwhile, is, what is he? He defends the title like 10 times, but we later learn that, you know, it wasn't.
They were bums.
They were bums.
They were fine fighters, but they weren't killers.
Not like him.
I want to note, I never noticed this, but during the montage, you see some of the names of the people that he's fighting during these 10 title defenses that he has, I guess, in this 3-year time span.
I thought it was closer to like 5 or 6 years. Like, it's kind of a while.
Well, it's at least years.
At least years.
The denomination is years. But anyway, one of the people he goes up against is Big Yank Ball.
I saw that. Like, what the fuck?
And I'm thinking to myself, like, yeah, maybe these weren't the best fighters he was going up against.
Come on, Rocky, you didn't think anything was up when you were fighting Big Yank Ball?
This sounds like something written by Sylvester Stallone.
If I may offer one more little criticism, I think you got names like Rocky Balboa, Apollo Creed. Those are amazing, and I feel like informative about the characters and where they come from and all this stuff. I would say Clubber Lang is a fun name, but it doesn't tell me too much about Clubber.
I couldn't disagree more.
You're telling me my fight against Glass Joe was a setup, Nick?
You know,
he's literally fighting the Punch-Out character.
Yeah.
That's what this movie feels like very much, especially with this Hulk scene.
Oh, the Hulk Hogan, the Thunder Lips. I forgot about that.
I already blocked it out as soon as that scene was over.
Yeah, that because that is very Punch Out.
It
also goes to show that Rocky is like he's just like fighting like he's not a real fighter anymore. He's doing these crazy stupid exhibition matches, charity stuff
where it's like, oh, you know, we're all having a good time. It's for he's upper echelon enough where it's like, oh, of course I'll do this, you know, like charity thing or this like non-competitive thing. Meanwhile, the Clubber Langs of the world are like, I'm going to kill you.
Well, that's the funny thing about this. Yeah, so this charity event, this is in the beginning of the movie too, this charity event where Rocky Balboa is going to fight Thunder Lips, this wrestler, it's billed as like this fun, it's just going to be a fun thing, a boxer
versus a wrestler. It's for the youth league or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, but in the movie, it seems to suggest that in this world, wrestling is real. And I'm not talking about like, oh, the endings are predetermined, blah, blah, blah. No, in this, it's saying they're actually connecting. They're actually punching.
And he will kill you dead.
I think, yes. I feel like this is, like, trying to protect the business, you know? Like, I think that they would say, no, it's not in this world wrestling's real. It's wrestling's real, Dave.
What are you talking about?
Well, because we get that little, like, before they start fighting, and Rocky's kind of like, oh, you know, well, you chase me, I'll chase you. Like, give him a good show. And then Thunderlips is like, so you think this is fake?
Yeah.
Which I guess sends him into a murderous
rage. I have to
rage.
Imagine this could, like, Vince McMahon salivating watching this. Like, this couldn't be better for the...
This is like a big commercial for WWF.
It is. It 100% is.
Whoa, you move pretty fast for a big guy, you know that? Listen, why don't we just move around a little bit, you know, like, give him a good show. First, I'll chase you and you chase me, okay? How's that? All right? We'll go easy. Here you go. Huh? Okay?
Stay away from
that hurt, right?
Don't mess with me.
How's that? Okay? Not bad, huh?
Come on, me away.
Come on.
Hey. All fake.
Oh, Thunderlips has gone absolutely berserk.
Run for your life!
Blast off, meatball!
And honestly, it kind of doesn't need to be in the movie as I'm thinking about it doesn't. Really.
It's a, I mean, but I would say, yeah, it's definitely like not really a plot driven, but it is kind of, I think, because you're talking about, like, you know, Rocky's soft now. He's kind of losing it, and he doesn't even realize.
He doesn't have his edge anymore.
But you realize, like, he is kind of always was a dumb guy. And, and it is showing, like, them saying it is for charity, and that he's good to his kid. It is a little bit save the cat. Oh. So it's like, he's not, like, he's not a bad, he's not become a bad guy, even though he is a rich guy.
And I think it does serve to, like, kind of show how off the rails his career has gone. Like,
he's a joke now.
Yeah. Look at what we're doing here as opposed to, like, where we started, in his boxing career.
And scene end with, like, Clubber Lang is in the crowd and he's saying, like, wow, you're a fucking joke. Like,
yeah,
it does.
It's so funny that Clubber Lang is...
he bought a ticket to the event or whatever.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
I think it would play better, maybe, if it wasn't this blatant ad for WWF. Like, no, actually, it's real. Like, if it was played as it was supposed to be in the movie, like, yeah, we'll just, like, I'll tag you and I'll, you know, if it was played as a thing, like, yeah, this is
like, you know what, you know what I'm gonna say too, I don't know if this is controversial or not, I think Hulk Hogan is
a bad guy.
Well, yeah, that too. I don't think he is good at wrestling. Like, I think he is I think he's good at looking the way he looks, right? He looks, you, no one could take that away from the way, you know, he's a
giant dude with a,
he's a Greek god of a man, or was at that time. But I don't think he's, you know, I don't think he was ever good at, like, the wrestling part of wrestling, and I don't think he was ever good at, like, the promo stuff. Like, I don't think he's good at acting. So, like, I don't think that translates. Like, I was thinking
you had to be
there. I think
there.
It was of the moment.
Of the moment.
Like that moment, like, I remember.
But, like,
I was trying to think of, like, other wrestlers. Like, if this was Rowdy Piper or something, or an Andre the Giant or something, I feel like this would have.
I know this is later too, but, like, you know, The Rock as the wrestler, like, was such a fun heel because he's, like, putting all that stank on it. And where was the stank
That's what he was at the time. The Hulk was the big I think.
I guess I'm just not interested.
I don't.
You guys are putting on, like things of, like, the current, like, status.
No, I'm not thinking that at all. No, I'm thinking.
Well, first of all, his current status is roasting in hell.
No, I'm not comparing his, like, wrestling style to modern wrestling or anything. I just mean, like, I don't think he's good at delivering lines. Like, I don't think he's good at the promos. I don't think he's good at talking, and I think that translates into him being a bad actor.
You're gonna get our store burnt down, Michael. You have to calm down.
By who?
Look, there's good. There are wrestlers.
The wrestlers
are
gonna be here. The whole damn town with the Morton and everyone are gonna freaking burn this place down.
I think it's just like it's hard to appreciate because, like, we've seen a lot better.
Yeah,
I think he's kind of the start. You know, it all starts.
It's like
there.
Him.
I mean,
is
wrestling
like
existed
but
before
I'm,
that.
This
I'm
is like
thinking,
duck soup all
no,
over again.
Hulk, I'm not, yeah, Hulk no, Hogan I'm not letting this. I'm not letting this go because wrestling. I'm thinking of people who are of his time, like Rowdy Piper or Andre the Giant. They're so much better, so much more charismatic on screen than Hulk Hogan was.
Well, that's totally fair. I agree, but I think the thing was, like, he kind of, like, invented what wrestling would become. I think I don't like him. I'm just saying. I agree. I don't think he was a great wrestler. In fact, like, a lot of other wrestlers apparently were, like, they hated Hulk
Hogan
because he never sold.
This is also, like, the most famous one of the time, fighting Rocky. No one's going to know who Roddy Piper is in 1982, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't know if they
need the most famous.
Like Denise knows who Hulk Hogan is in 1982.
This was back when it was a big deal if Hulk Hogan body slammed Andre the Giant. Yeah. Now, if you fast forward 20 years, if somebody body slams someone, that's going to be like, yawn, like, okay, what else you got? You know what I mean? It all starts with this, and I think it's just people had never seen anything like it before. Well, now, granted, I agree with you. I don't think he's great. But it's just you gotta set yourself in 1982 where there's not
their
much
standards
going
were
on.
Lower.
Yeah, there's not a lot to compare it to.
Standards were lower.
Not a lot to compare it to. But this
also, like, for Hulk Hogan's fame, he wasn't really famous. This is like kind of what launched him into being famous. He got his heyday was more in the later 80s.
Like 84.
So I don't think most people would have known who he was in this movie. I think like this is one of the things that starts the ascent of Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
This is also probably the beginning of wrestling's real, damn it. I saw it in Rocky III. They were punching, they were connected.
I saw Rocky III.
That said, it is crazy, like how small Sylvester Stallone looks next to in his prime Hulk Hogan.
He is a short guy, relatively speaking.
But so. We do, I mean, we get a lot of, later in the movie too, a lot of Rocky and Apollo in like the tiniest shorts and crop tops during their training
Holy
montage.
Cow.
Incredible stuff. We got to bring that back.
We'll get back to
I
think this, you know, I think this scene would have played better if it was played as this is all fake and this is all.
Well, that's kind of what he does at the end a little bit. Like, I think
a little bit.
You're right.
But the movie seems to suggest that they're actually connecting. Like, he is actually punching Rocky in the face.
He's trying to murder famous boxer Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, but I think at the end, it's like he is this more of just like, oh, that was great. Like, he was like almost like, it is weird because it is playing it off, but like he does end up being like, oh, we really nailed it at the end here.
Are you all right?
Yeah, pretty good. Good match. Hey, why'd you get so crazy on me out there?
That's the name of the game.
Well, listen, while you're still calm, can we get that pole right together?
Yeah, sure.
Adrian, come on over here. My wife, Adrian. My kid. It's thunderless. Ow, would you do that? Okay, that's all right. You know, sometimes charity really hurts.
It kind of tries to have its cake and eat it too. It's
right.
Like, yeah, this is all real, but at the same time, it's like, hey, we're just putting on a show.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's trying to kill you.
I think I got the vibe of like, we're professionals here, right? That was for the fight. The fight's over now. Like, we can be...
Yeah, I guess so.
Outside of the fight.
It's mixed bag. But I mean, if we were like kids watching this, we would be just like, this is the greatest movie ever made. You know?
Oh, definitely.
I mean?
Yeah.
Not so. Mickey doesn't agree, though. He's over there having a heart attack.
My heart.
Ah, it's crazy shit.
Every time, like, I think I did know it was coming of like, oh, well, I mean, they telegraph it very obviously of like, we're going to lose Mickey. But they really just, every time something happens, he's like, ugh, my heart.
Every time it cuts to Mick in this movie, there's like another medical device strapped to him, or like he's clutching some other part of his body,
or someone like lightly shoved him and he crumples to the ground.
He's the most like, I am going to die character.
I'm gonna die, kid.
It's funny because like for me, I watch so much more you know, Adam West Batman than I did Rocky growing up.
Are those two comparable?
Well, because he's Penguin.
Go on.
The actor.
Oh, Burgess Meredith.
He's the Penguin.
Yeah, and so I'm just like, that's all I it's just all I see because he has the same face.
I definitely don't.
You're ready for him to go.
I don't think of Burgess Meredith as Mickey from Rocky. Like, he's too much of a famous person has done like to. It's crazy that he is Mick and Rocky, I feel like.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, he's probably like the biggest actor in that first Rocky movie for sure. Like, he was in Twilight Zone, as you said, he was in Batman.
Yeah, he's the guy from Twilight Zone with the glasses, right?
Yeah. He was in a ton of Twilight Zone.
And the first Rocky, is like a full-on indie. So, it's
And that's a good thing to say, like, to compare this to where Rocky started. Yeah. Like, I remember when Ryan and I saw Rocky in the theaters, in the Valley Art Theater.
Yeah, that was, I think, the first time I've seen it all the way through. Yeah.
Yeah, and you were like, that was like a good ass movie.
Yeah. Rocky is so
sad,
good.
And yeah.
I know. I was like, it was amazing. It was like one of the best movie experiences ever.
Directed by Sylvester Stallone.
But he wrote it, right?
He did write it, yeah. And starred in it, obviously.
Well, yes.
And oh, I think man. He won an Oscar for that, too.
I believe that's true.
So it's interesting to see where... So honestly, like, Rocky III is interesting in a lot of ways, real ways and meta ways. Like, you know, it's Stallone saying, like, what happens when you're on the top? Yeah. You know, you lose your edge.
And everyone wants to see you fall.
Yeah, you
and
can't...
And funny enough, the movie itself the kind of does that, too, because this is when the Rocky movies become, like, farce, essentially.
Well, yeah.
Like a cartoon.
Yeah, I would say, like, I mean, we haven't really talked about it much. Like, I thought that one of the through lines to the movie was going to be, like, the whole thing with, like, leaving your friends behind or whatever, or people wanting money from you and stuff with, like, Adrian's brother and stuff.
Yeah.
Pauly.
And then Pauly.
The Pauly of it all.
Yeah, and then, but then,
well, then
that
you
was
just
like,
learned Pauly sucks. That's all it is.
Well, yeah.
But then it was that was settled before the first act
I know,
was
they do it in, like, 5 minutes.
And
like,
so I was
yeah,
like,
oh,
hang
on
with scene.
Us.
He's like, oh, all you wanted was a job? Well, sure, you can be my
shit just asked. But it's like, you know, I mean, it's fine. I like it, but I'm just saying, like, it was like, oh, that's it. It's over. Like,
yeah.
I was kind of like.
Well, it's introduced and then immediately resolved.
I mean, it was kind of like, I mean, I don't know. I was trying to link it to the Mr. T story somehow. Like, I was just trying to, like, figure out, like. I guess it's kind of leading into that, like, you know, there's different people kind of resenting you kind of thing, but it doesn't quite like, it's like bare, it's almost, I mean, I don't remember Rocky II as much because it kind of feels like it just kind of retread, like we're going to fight again. But then this one, I feel like it's like really close to probably being like really like better than it, just like kind of a spectacle, if that makes sense.
Because I think like because of the meta aspects of it too, you do get a certain amount of like perhaps like Sylvester Stallone still needs Rocky to be like the good guy through and through. And so we can't really follow a path of like, well, what if money like does change you, even
correct.
If you're a real solid guy like Rocky, because we still need to like love him and follow him and everything.
Yeah, he's not really, I feel like, too changed real, other than just being kind of oblivious, if
sure.
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oblivious, yeah.
Which is kind of like, you kind of wish, because that's what they do in Creed a little bit, like him getting changed in the...
Sure.
He kind of becomes a little bit I wonder if some of that is coming from, again, this is written and directed by Sylvester Stallone.
And I'm sure there is ego involved.
Because the Creed sequels kind of follow this trend a little bit, but he gets into it a little bit more, I think.
Yeah.
Him kind of becoming different.
Yeah, because...
You changed, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, it doesn't hit as hard if it's a fucking asshole like Pauly being like, yeah, you changed, and you see, you know, kind Rocky, like, picking up
He
comes in and saves him. He picks up the expensive watch that Polly's trying to throw away. And like, oh, good thing Rocky's still such a sweetie.
Can I just say, real quick, in this scene, this opening scene with Rocky and Pauly, when Pauly drunkenly destroys a Rocky pinball table.
A beautiful pinball table.
By throwing a bottle of booze at it. And it lingers on this shot. He throws... And this shot sequence is crazy, because he's drunk. He's like, oh, fucking Rocky.
Rocky. I hate Rocky.
That piece of shit. I hate that guy. And he stumbles into this, and the music's like, you know, it's really like you get like Dutch angles. It's kind of like twilting around, and then I was just surprised at how hard this scene went. He's like, "Fuck you!"
It's,
you know,
I'm
throws
saying,
it at the thing.
I keep going back. It's kind of amazing because it's like there's just the end of the last movie. This long montage, then credits. But hasn't been like real dialogue yet in the movie.
Yeah,
no.
And then
not really.
And then it does linger on. You see the outline of the lights of what's lighting up Rocky on the pinball machine. And I'm like, oh my god, it's just all that's left is this. There's not even like the light is gone from Rocky, and that's why it's kind of a bummer. It doesn't quite like land that idea, because it's
been
impressive
more.
Stuff. Yeah, it's impressive. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of cool. It's like the best part of the movie is that first 10 minutes.
And then Rocky comes into the prison cell where Pauly is like, so I heard you destroyed one of my pinball tables, Rocky or Pauly.
Do you know what other movie the cinematographer did from 1975 that was a very famous movie?
Jaws?
Well, I recognize
Jaws.
The name.
Yeah.
Bill Butler. Oh, it was Jaws.
Oh, it was literally Jaws. Oh, cool.
Bill Butler. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, hey.
It immediately came to me. I was like, oh. But real quick, I want to say, oh, and on that, like, beautiful looking movie. This movie looks great.
Yeah.
Like, cinematography wise, I was kind of taken aback by how good it looked. And we were watching this in 4K too. It looked beautiful.
There were a couple times where there's just like, there'd be like some kind of like zoom into a character's face. And I'm like, yes, what is, oh, this is so interesting. Like, ah, let's do it.
But I wanted to, real quick, this scene when he gets Polly out of jail, Rocky is wearing an outfit that looks like something a secret agent would wear when they're exchanging a briefcase in the park or something.
He's dressed like a fucking Kennedy, just like,
yes,
the overcoat and the gloves and the shiny shoes. He's got the, like, Michael and I kept on noticing just the hairdo, which is very 1982 of him, but it fully is the JFK Jr. like fluffy feather.
His hair is insane. It's like one of those things, like, the more you look at it, the weirder
it is. 1982. There were only so many ways to wear your hair.
But they do a good job of showing that Rocky is like,
he's got money.
He's a rich guy now.
He's got money.
He's upper class.
I think the most ridiculous kind of example we get of that, in addition to the driving his young son around their estate in a golf cart, was it's in the scene when he confronts Mickey about, like, why didn't you tell me I wasn't fighting, you know, all guys in their prime, or in, like, Mickey's rooms on the estate, and it's like these fancy,
he like lives in a guest house or something,
fancy little, like, you know, fab benches and these frilly curtains.
He's like, he's living like he's
palace,
like, a
of Versailles.
Yeah, like he's like a French aristocrat in the 1800s or something.
It's like, wait, and so sorry, Mickey lives in this this is how you decorate your house?
So here's the thing. We find out later that Mickey, in this scene, that Mickey still, he may live in this luxury, but he's still at his heart, just like, you know,
a scumbag.
I just live down in the neighborhood. Because as Rocky says, like, if you don't train me for this last fight, I'll tell everyone you have been wearing the same underwear for 10 years.
I offer to buy you more underwear, Mickey, please.
They're glued on to me at this point, Rocky. You couldn't take them off if you wanted
to. Mick, we can go to the department store.
They're a part of me now, Rock.
Oh.
But yeah, this is after the big, again, like, an interesting thing that this movie does is it integrates real life into the movie reality. The statue. They have this dedication to Rocky. They dedicate this statue to him on the steps.
Philadelphia's
own. Taken aback. Yeah, it's kind of odd that this movie, it really goes to show how popular Rocky was at the time. You know what I mean? like
and,
we're going to do this for real, and
how
we're going to integrate it into the movie.
How little the city of Philadelphia had going for it.
They're like, yeah, the founding fathers, but that was a long time ago. We need a hit.
But this is where Clubber Lang shows up. And I got to say, like, I got to hand it to Clubber Lang, man. Master troll. I'm going to show up at this guy's statue dedication. And then basically, he does cross a line, though.
Oh,
isn't
he crossing
the line?
You can't mention
a man's
wife.
Good.
Hey, woman. Hey, woman. Listen here. Since your old man ain't got no heart, maybe you'd like to see a real man. I bet you stay up late every night dreaming you had a real man, don't you? I tell you what, bring your pretty little self over to my apartment tonight. And I'll show you a real man.
You want it, you get it! You got it!
It's so funny because this is like, we've seen wrestling or whatever in this movie, and I feel like this movie in general is very inspired by wrestling. Like, this scene feels like a wrestling scene.
Oh, yeah, because he is a heel. He's like, I'm here. I'm ruining your event. I'm going to kill you. And I'm going to...
You've been ducking me for years, Balboa.
And I mean, I'm going to say rude things about your
not
wife.
Not to throw Hogan under the bus again. But again, Mr. T knows how to cut a promo. He is cutting a great promo in this scene.
When did, like, Mike Tyson, like, start up? Kind of thing,
like the mid-80s, I think.
It was after this, then. I'm trying to think, because I think so
because
he seems very like Mike Tyson coded a little bit. Am I wrong about that? Just like his sort of...
I think Tyson came about like in the mid to late 80s.
Maybe there was characters like him a little
I feel
bit.
Like Tyson's more of like a more of a grit than the Mr. T, because there's some flamboyance with the Mr.
showman with
Mr. T.
Yeah, it was
T.
a few years after this when Tyson started fighting.
Okay.
I mean, maybe I'm thinking of a different Tyson, but I don't think of Tyson wearing the like flamboyant outfits that Mr. T is like showing up in. Mm.
You get that classic Mr. T, what is it? It's like the kind of suede jacket with the feather like earrings and the hairdo, and it's like, yeah, it's pretty iconic.
He basically, yeah, he looking like a character from the Macho Warriors. Man vibes a little bit with the feathers, and the tassels and stuff.
And it's, you know, it's not the final form that would become the kind of like meme of it all with like the vest and all the rings and chains and everything. But it's still like you'd see that guy and you're like, oh yeah, antagonist.
This is the genesis of that, yeah. And this is the scene where basically where Mickey's like, "You ain't fight, we ain't fighting you," and he's retiring and stuff.
So
and it's they do pay it off, but that whole scene, I was like, "Why does Mick care that much about not fighting?" Like it is kind of like out of left field that Mick is like, "It's not happening, Rocky. You're
It'll
not
never
doing
happen.
It." And Rocky's like, "I'm gonna do it." He's like, "Oh, I'll quit before you do it. That's it. We're done. We're through, Rocky." And
well, because Mickey knows that he lost the eye of the tiger. He lost the hunger.
Well,
he doesn't
this
have
is
it anymore, and he needs that to fight a guy like
what
this.
What we don't know, and what we find out pretty much right after this scene, is because Rocky like shows up, and Mick is like literally packing his bags in his fancy French aristocrat bedroom, and
his wing of the house
that he's decorated with a bunch of posters of Rocky, which is really funny, and. He's like, why are you so against this?
He's like, I'll fight him. Yeah, I'm not mad at that.
And Mick is like, because I've been fixing all your fights, Rocky.
No, he wasn't fixing them, but
I
was
helping.
Protecting
I was helping. I was protecting you, Rocky.
Well, he has an interesting line at the end, and this kind of comes and goes in the Rocky series, but he's like, you should have died in that fight with Apollo.
Yeah.
And you didn't.
Well, what fight? What is that talking about Rocky II?
Yeah.
If we can do a brief detour, is I haven't seen Rocky II. I know they fought at the end of that movie. We saw it in this one, but like what?
Well, it becomes like a recurring thing where it's like Rocky shouldn't fight because it's like a thing where like he's taken such a bad beating that like another fight could kill him.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the in the beginning of the second movie,
the CTE that this man has.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you remember in the first film, it's the famous line, "Cut me, Mick, cut me," because his eye, they cuts his eye. In the beginning of the second movie, he's on like the operating table, and they're like, the doctor's like, "It's your eye that concerns me," and it's like you could go blind if like you fight again because your eye's really fucked up.
Oh, wow.
Then that kind of just doesn't really become a thing in the other movie.
Yeah.
So okay, yeah.
There's literally a scene in Rocky II, like after he's recovered, and Mick doesn't want to train him because he knows about his eye and he knows he should have died in the first fight. And he's like, "Here, Rocky, I'm gonna hold my hand up, and when you see it, tell me." And he holds his hands up, and Rocky's just sitting there like, "Duh," and then he just smacks Rocky because he just can't see out of his left eye.
It's crazy
gone.
They just drop that.
But so they just drop that, yeah.
So he's just like, he's like a porcelain doll with tons of hairline fractures just waiting to shatter at any second.
Well, it comes and goes, but in this movie, that's not a thing. I mean, Mickey does say, like, you should have died at the end of that fight, so I've been protecting you by giving you people that aren't killers.
Yeah.
They're good fighters, but they're not killers.
Yeah, they're people like Yank the Doodle or whatever that guy's name was.
I was going to say, Dave, I love that your Mick is turning into Mo Szyslak from The Simpsons.
Hell yeah.
That's kind of just the Mo voice. That's Hank Azaria just doing.
Thank you for using Mo's full name.
Yes.
Mo Szyslak.
Yeah, he's one of
I'm going to retire.
He's one of TV's greatest.
I devised this new cocktail called the Flamin' Mick.
The Flamin' Mick.
In the club. In the boxing ring.
What would the Flamin' Mick be? Like, what?
It's spit and alcohol.
You gotta have
gasoline.
Rye eggs. You gotta have rye eggs in there.
Yeah, definitely.
The secret ingredient's the spit bucket.
You know, I am gonna say, just skipping to the end, I did have to knock half a star off my final rating in this movie because Rocky at no point drinks raw eggs.
Apollo Creed is like, "No, I'm getting you like a
smoothie."
Oh,
he has like powder and stuff these days.
Yeah.
He does something better. He runs on the beach with his now best friend.
Yeah, his best friend Apollo, the most best looking and most charismatic man to ever exist.
Let's
get into Apollo.
It did gain
this
a half
begins,
star for that.
This is one of my favorite tropes in franchise movies when the previous villain becomes a best friend.
Speaking of I like Dragon Ball Z.
Well, I think before we get to Apollo, I think we have to talk about the connecting thing here, why he joins up with Apollo, because he has the fight he finally does have the
first fight with Clubber.
With Clubber, and
Mick
that is
dies moments into the fight.
This is like the pivotal
again, the
scene
WWF
of the movie
of it all. Like beforehand, when they before they even get to the ring, he's like, "Hey, Balboa,
I'm gonna kill you."
This is when our gang goes to the Death Star with Obi-Wan, you know, and the action scene ensues. Obi-Wan dies, and they regroup to fight another day. This is like I clocked it too. This is halfway through the movie.
Wow.
This is like,
it's not a long movie either. It's only about an hour and 40.
For all the joking I've done about Sylvester Stallone, I think this is a great script, and I think it's like super fun. And I think
it's efficient.
Yeah, this is a great moment for this fight. It's such a big action scene. Like, it almost feels like a climax to a movie because it is kind of a climax to like this little arc. And yeah, a lot is going on. So like, they're about to finally fight, and Mick basically starts having a heart attack because Clubber Lang got too aggressive in the hallway.
Yeah, people were like shoving in the hallway, and I think Mick got shoved a little bit. My heart! And then actively dying.
So basically,
of
now
arrest.
He has to go into this fight not knowing if Mick is going to live or not. He's like, I'm dying over here, Rocky.
And Rocky has the great moment too when Mick is down where he's like, the fight's over!
I'll
the fight's
the
over!
Fight.
Yeah.
No.
But Mick is like, no, yeah, you gotta have the fight, Rocky.
And then Adrian takes off her fur coat to like cradle the dying Mickey in her arms.
It's very melodramatic.
And it's particularly bad because Rocky loses in the second round.
Yeah.
The fight is he just gets lit up.
He just gets his bell rung because that's Clubber Lang's thing, is like KOs. And and then second round, he's down. Apollo Creed, who's like now one of the commentators, is like, no, oh, not this, no,
not like this, yeah,
not like this, Rock.
Not like this.
he goes back to the locker room, and Mick is like, I gotta die now, kid.
Tell me you won the fight.
Oh yeah, yeah, knockout. I knocked him out the second round.
Oh, that's good. Hey, that's good.
And then I appreciate seeing the emotions, you know, men showing emotions and everything, but when Rocky is just weeping over Mick's corpse and the sounds he makes.
One would describe it as animalistic.
So you're the one in the audience. Everyone else is crying, and you're the lone person going,
we had all the time in the world.
Now I am sad, but I'm applauding Stallone's acting there. I'm just,
you know, you've got a big mouth, you know?
Nothing but respect. Nothing but respect.
It's one of the, like, the closed captioning has got to just be like grunting or, you know.
We get a lot
wailing.
We said also during some various montages with Mr. T, just the noises that come out of him are incredible.
It literally sounds like, I don't know if he's like, when
like
Mr.
He sounds
T works
really
out,
angry when he's doing
it. It sounds like he's pulling something, like he's been stabbed and he's pulling the knife out like,
it has like a, like he's being exercised to some like.
Yes.
It's great. It's some really incredible stuff. But then, yeah, we go from Mick dying to Rocky dutifully reading a Jewish prayer, and I wanted to see the whole thing of like, I will sit Shiva for Mick. I love you, Mick.
Shalom.
They could have Shabbat Shalom.
A missed opportunity for a joke here. They could have started in the morning and then like it fades and suddenly it's night and he's still recounting like
it would have been a good bit. And then from there he's just kind of walking around like a ghost until good old Apollo
Walks
Creed
into the old
finds
gym.
Him.
Apollo Creed is literally just in the dark in his gym.
He's like, so you finally showed up.
Well, it's that great shot when, like, you know, it's a dark room and then you just see the guy like standing in the doorway with the light coming in behind him. You know what I mean?
This just giant silhouette of this imposing man.
And can we say, I think Mr. T is great in the role he's in, but I think objectively the best actor in this movie just showed up and it's Carl Weathers.
Carl Weathers.
I think so.
He's live and breathe.
He's got such a, I mean, let's not like knock Sylvester Stallone. He's kind of
no,
one
I'm
of
not
a kind.
Stallone.
Very charismatic.
I was taken with
Sylvester Stallone is kind of like an Arnold Schwarzenegger type presence, I feel like. Just charismatic, popping off the screen. But Carl Weathers is, I don't know, I think him and Mick are kind of both putting in equally, Burgess Meredith are putting in equal performances here. But he is incredible in this movie.
He's it's just, yeah, the voice, the body, which is insane. Carl Weathers' body.
He is jacked in this movie. I was like, put Apollo up against Mr. T.
Yeah, really.
I think he's definitely the best body of anyone.
I mean, that's
in this.
Why he's wearing the crop tops half the time, but and just the,
oh, his crop top beach fit.
It's really, really good. There's a moment earlier when Rocky and Clubber are about to fight where like Apollo Creed comes out, he's one of the commentators, and is, you know, doing the like, oh, any words before the fight? And then Clubber Lang just is like, gives him nothing. And there is a, you know, not subtle, but like not really explored. I don't really expect Sylvester Stallone to explore that, but of like these two black men in the same industry where it's like there's animosity there. And a little later in the movie, like for the final fight, Clubber Lang like calls Apollo Creed like boy a few times, and it is very much like, okay, so there's some intra community beef here, in a way that like Apollo Creed is just like, you know, I want you to kick this guy's ass.
Yeah. There's the idea is like in Clubber Lang's eyes, Apollo Creed is a has-been.
Oh yeah,
he's like, I have nothing. I have no time.
Why
for
would
you.
I
you're
show
a
you
loser.
Respect? Yeah, you're,
well, he says
you're
some. He has a good line where I think when they first see. You see Apollo when he's commentating. He's like, put this guy away.
He, like,
away.
Introduces the fight.
Yeah, he's like, put this guy away or something.
Yeah,
like
do that. Us all a favor and put him away.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Put this bum away.
Because he's, you know, because there's... Apollo Creed was, like, the antagonist previously, but there was always that, like, kind of, you know, good-natured... like we're in the same industry.
Yeah, you
whereas
never, like,
Clubber
hated him though. Yeah,
you know
whereas
like
Clubber
to,
Lang is like, I will kill everyone in this room and then myself. I'm so obsessed with winning.
They don't really get into this, but there's a potentially interesting angle. I feel like that's like maybe boxing, like the boxing federation or whatever, doesn't want Clubber Lang to be the face of the business.
Sure,
you know, they
yeah.
don't want, they're not going to be putting him on the Wheaties box.
No,
but
no.
Well, and the crowd, like, there's like a couple people in the crowd that have signs of his, but like, it seems like most part, everyone's booing Clubber Lang throughout the movie.
Yeah. And he,
even after he's the champion.
Whereas like Apollo Creed at his height obviously loved being like a beloved, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
they'd put Apollo Creed on the Wheaties
yeah,
box.
Yeah, absolutely. He's always got a face for a
And
Wheaties
they put
box.
Sylvester Stallone on the Wheaties box, but yeah.
And Clubber Lang seems to be completely uninterested in playing that game. We see it with like the
that's such a good scene with the press in his locker
room.
Yeah,
and he just calls them parasites and leeches. Whereas like
he's just pacing, like get out
hates,
of my locker room.
He hates that, like, yeah, that this is a televised or like a and it's an interesting, yeah, unexplored angle of like, you seem to love boxing but you hate that it's an industry. What's that about?
Well, he even says at one point when he disses Rocky at his statue dedication, he's like, I'll fight you anytime, anywhere. You don't even have to pay me.
Like, he's in it for the love of the game, I suppose.
Yeah, I just want to beat you up.
There's not real. There's never like a reason. It's just because he just hates.
He just hates him so much. He just has to do it.
Just thinks.
Well, it's almost like he just kind of represents like what Rocky lost. Like, that's just determination. You know,
so
the eye
like
of the tiger.
You know, yeah. Like, yeah.
He's hungry. He wants
he is
it.
Hungry. Whereas, yeah, Rocky is happy to be. Just,
I mean,
you know, successful and blah blah blah. And Apollo Creed is also happy to be like. They're not happy because they talk about like we're too young to be retired, but like, you know, he likes being the good guy with the big smile, and Clubber Lang is not that.
Well,
guy.
And he gives him that great speech in the gym where he's just like, you lost that edge. Like, when you fought me, yeah.
you had that edge.
And that's
well,
why
I think that's what's cool about Clubber Lang is I don't think he's like the worst person in the world. Like, I think there's a lot
to Apollo Creed.
No, Clubber Lang, like the villain. Like, I feel like there's a lot to like about him and that he has that hunger, he has that eye of the tiger, and I feel like you kind of respect that in him in the way that Sylvester Stallone has lost it at this point.
Okay.
Well, certainly during that montage, when, I mean, the whole montage, we didn't mention this, like, there's when he trains with Mick for his first fight with Clubber, it's like a circus.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's so silly. The full band's playing, Pauly's selling like stickers and buttons and t-shirts, and kids are playing like carnival games.
How you liking that new job I gave you, Pauly?
He's like,
how's the shirt selling?
Mid every exercise, he's pausing for like photos and stuff.
Yeah, autographs
like
that. Yeah.
And yeah, yeah, I forgot about that.
Of course, you went soft.
Yeah, and that isn't that the one where it's then cutting to Clubber Lang, who's putting in the real work and like doing
it. And it's really telling too. He is literally by himself. Yeah. He doesn't even have a trainer. He's just doing it all on his own.
Yeah. He's doing it in like I was saying, the set of like a Saw movie or something.
Yes.
I feel like every time they cut to him, his workout equipment is increasingly becoming like more like thrown together, cobbled together. Like he like starts out on like a rack or whatever, like lifting weights, but by the end he's just got like ropes tied to like a beam.
Ceiling. Yeah.
Which is funny too, because in the next Rocky movie, this is what Rocky has to do. He has to go back to basics and he has to like build his training equipment himself.
Wow. Sick.
Interesting.
But yeah, no, so like I love that. I think it's a good arc where like Apollo, like that's the villain, and then Apollo's gotta like reinstill that. Mm-hmm. Like, this is why you lost, is because your opponent has this.
Yeah.
Well, and not only that, I'm gonna make you just a better fighter in general. I'm gonna teach you how to
because
move.
I respect you.
Yeah, that's, more yeah, technical fighter. Like you had the heart, but I had the technical skill, yeah, and we're gonna combine our powers together.
That was another part of just that part of the movie montage where we get the Apollo training and everything. But Carl Weathers, again, just being so, so sexy. And the way that, like, especially to contrast of, like, oh, Rocky, you know, he's not getting it. But of, like, the way that Carl Weathers moves of just, like, he's so big, but he's so, like, he's moving like it's nothing. Oh, my God. What a hottie. Sorry to...
Yeah, what do you guys think about that when he takes him to his gym?
So this is where it's like, yeah, so if you had any doubts that Pauly wasn't racist, like, no, he's definitely racist.
Like, what does he say? He's like, I got a reputation to protect. I can't be around these people. And it's just like, what are you? I have a reputation as a racist.
Yeah, what
people
reputation?
People can't know that. What are you talking about?
And there's almost like a line here that Stallone, like, he's like...
This is why racism is stupid.
Like, they don't like you either.
It's like, well, what would I do to them? And like, I almost wanted Rocky to say, like, exactly.
Maybe they don't like you either.
Then it does, like, the more you know.
Exactly. I don't really expect Sylvester Stallone to be like, let's have a serious discussion about race. But it's like, obviously it's a presence in these movies, and it has been since Rocky One. But then, yeah, you get that just clunky, like, Pauly being like, oh, these bums and these hoodlums. And it's like, Jesus Christ, man. Why is he even here? What is Pauly doing here?
Yeah, and it's where you start to realize, like, why is Pauly here? Because it not only is it, like, the racist stuff, but he's... Just that all he does,
like,
is stand around while they work out and complain about things.
That was such a, like, what the hell is
this
Goofy?
Place sucks.
Well, it's like, I get why I get his presence in the first two movies, because he's Adrian's brother. Mm-hmm. So it's like he's just that shitty family member. And in those first two movies, Rocky's trying to, like, hey, can you be my girlfriend? And then they get married.
And she's
in the
kind of
movie,
like
a
very timid person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I get why he's around in those first two movies, but like,
why did you
leave his ass behind in Philadelphia
why
when you go
you
out to
the house?
Well, that's kind of what he was doing, it sounds like. And then he got thrown in jail.
Pauly was like, please let me stand around and whine while you work out.
Well, he eventually, there's those moments, but like, yeah, I mean, he's just helping out. Like, why let him sell the shirts at the
just,
zoo? You know,
yeah, let him stay.
Let him
in
sell
Philly.
The shirts at the zoo, but leave him there. I don't. Why are we bringing him to the beach to run with Carl Weathers? Like,
to be humorously pulled into the pool at one point.
You know, I tell you something, Rock. I hate sand. It gets everywhere. Why don't you take me to the beach?
I can just, like, imagine, like, Rocky is, like, standing, you know, like, half a mile away or with Carl Weathers. They're looking out at the finish line and Pauly, and they just hear in the background Pauly being like, oh, didn't anyone else feel like it's too hot here?
Why is it so sunny? Yeah.
And this sequence, so it takes Rocky a while to get on board with the training that Apollo's trying to give him, because, like, he's still broken up over Mick's death.
Yeah.
And also we find out, as he has his heart-to-heart with Adrian,
I'm scared. What do you want me to say? I'm scared.
What's the truth, Rock?
Well, the only thing with her, she's a little bit, I mean, you're not going
to. I mean, they don't give her much to do.
She doesn't have much to do for
one.
Most of the movie, I think.
No. You know?
Well, it's like they're already married, so like she basically has to come in and give
she's
him the talk.
She's kind of just standing around.
This
watching.
Is not a movie concerned about women.
No, I guess no. She's sort of just us. She's us in the movie.
She's like, know? What is wrong with you, Rocky? What is wrong?
Yeah, just, she's
but
she's just
there is a bit of like, Rocky, I thought I married a man.
You wanted her to call him a pussy so bad.
I think there's a bit of that in her. I think she is a bit like, Rocky, you gotta
what
do
happened
this.
To the man that I married?
Yeah, like, I think, like, she knows, like, you gotta prove this to yourself, Rocky. You've just learned your entire career was kind of fixed.
Like, you're making her sound like she's Karen from Goodfellas.
I know. I was like, is that her accent?
I'm sorry,
Rocky.
Much.
I flushed all the cocaine down the toilet. What do you want me to do? You got me through the door.
Rocky, you got to finish this fight. You know, we have so much money owed to the mob for the cocaine.
Most of the movie is her standing around looking worried for various reasons. She gets a little monologue here on the beach to say, what's wrong? No, really, what's wrong? What's wrong? What is wrong?
All right, now, Adrian, remember, you got to tell Polly he's got to keep stirring the meatballs, okay? Or it's going to be bad, right?
And we got, how is the sauce?
Yeah, how is the sauce? You gotta watch the sauce, Polly. Promise me.
Yeah, it's
why do I want to see Goodfellas?
The sauce, these damn helicopters have been following me all day.
Starring Talia Shire and Sylvester Stallone. So bad.
It's really good. Really good. But he's scared, and then he gets I've been repeating it to myself and to Michael for hours now of a classic Sylvester Stallone-ism. I really love you, Adrian. What was that? I really love you?
I really love you.
And this is when he finally starts to take on the training that Paulo is teaching him. And he moves around. He's playing around in the water. One thing I thought was funny, he's just like, so I guess he's just never really swam before?
With a name like Rock?
Yeah, exactly.
But he's never been
but then he's
in
getting
a
fun.
Pool.
He's pulling people in. This is one of those things that this movie is popular for, I think, or, you know, known for, that run on the beach. With Apollo.
With not one, but I feel like a couple different
several runs. I mean, it's like montage runs.
But a couple different slow-mo inserted shots of just thighs. Of just...
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, that
muscular
shot.
Thighs.
I know, you're like, holy shit, those
and
thighs.
It, yeah, you're like, okay, oh, wow. And then we do something else, and it's back to thighs.
And this is where we get my favorite outfit of the movie, which is Carl Weathers in, like, short shorts and a crop top t-shirt.
It's an incredible outfit. Body, why wouldn't you wear that?
Do you guys know what I'm talking to anyone else? I mean, Jackie does. You and Dave, you and Ryan.
I started wearing the crop tops?
No, did you clock this
you
outfit?
Start
this?
I'm sure, yeah. Which one is it?
It's great. It's but yeah, it's not just the crop top and the shorty shorts, but the classic tall socks as well. It's
yes,
really an
yes,
all-timer.
Very 80s.
All-timer fit. And yeah, finally, what did they say? Like, they taught that white boy rhythm.
They did, right? They did.
And I
really like, again, I love this trope. There are moments when, like, you really get a sense of how proud Apollo is. Like, even when Rocky is, like, at times maybe surpassing him mm-hmm. in areas. Like, there's moments when they're training and they're sparring and Rocky gets some punches in and Apollo's
like,
just
yeah.
like, oh, all right, Rocky, good for you.
There's so like, many, in the montage, like, when before he kind of snaps back into things where he's fucking up and Apollo will just be like, come on, Rocky, what's wrong with you? It's great.
What the hell's wrong with you?
What the hell's wrong with you?
This guy will knock you in your ass.
He's gonna kill you.
And I love it. Like, again, like, it really just shows how efficient this movie is, because then once the training is done, we're at the fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's nothing in between. We are at the fight.
Time
like
to
this.
Do it.
I was amazed at how quickly this movie flowed.
It's got really good
it's got
pacing.
Legs.
Yeah.
The pacing is great for this
movie. Say, though, that I feel like the end with the fight is a little.
Feels a little truncated.
It is a little short. I don't know. There's something about it that just doesn't.
Are you talking
it's
about
sa-
the?
It's not
the,
satisfying.
Like, are you talking fight. About the fight, like
sure.
the little fight with Apollo?
No. With
the final fight with Clubber. Well, they say that when they're training, Apollo says, like, all right, the key to beating this guy is we gotta take him out early.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just something. I mean, it'd probably be different in theaters, but it's. Just
I liked it. I mean, I feel like you get like a kind of an arc where he kind of gets some on Clubber, Clubber gets some on him, but then there's kind of a strategy that reveals itself of like, oh, this is how he's gonna win. Mm-hmm. And it feels like kind of a culmination of like both the heart of Rocky, but also taking what he learned to be like a better technical boxer from Apollo. Like it.
Well, because he discovers very quickly that Clubber's whole thing is I am at 100% all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm not saving anything for a later round. I'm putting it all right now to knock you out.
All on the floor, all at once.
And if that wasn't clear, we get Clubber's trainer, who's a great little unsung hero in this movie. He's like yelling at Clubber, like, save some in the tank, Clubber. Like he gets that. That's the problem, which is fun.
You know, supposedly in the notes, Morgan Freeman auditioned for that role.
Really? Like the trainer of Clubber?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Huh.
How about that?
But something to say here, and this is one thing the Rocky movies are known for, especially the fourth movie, but the intensity of the punches in these movies, are like... They're like
crazy
video game punches. It's like every punch is an Indiana Jones punch. Like,
yes. It's funny watching this, like I've no boxing expert, but it looks like this is like something that if this were a real fight, they'd both be knocked out in like round one with these punches.
Definitely.
Just both of them immediately getting like multiple straight to the fucking face punches.
Yes. That's the thing
just
with these
over
movies.
And over and over.
I mean, God, could never be me of like, ow, hey.
Well, and that's what's so, like, what makes his Rocky quote unquote strategy so funny. He's like, oh, wait a minute. I'll block his punches and then they won't hurt me as much. And then he'll tire himself out and then I'll punch him.
Well, and at a certain point, literally becomes the Homer Simpson strategy of just like, my body's capable of absorbing the punches.
I was thinking about that the whole time.
He's going up to Clubber in this fight at points and just like not blocking and just being like, punch me in the face, Clubber. Go for it.
Eventually he starts blocking. But the funny thing is, even if you block those punches, that's going to hurt like hell.
Yeah.
But in the reality of the Rocky movies, if you block, you don't get hurt.
See, this very
again, it's an anime.
It is very wrestling, like this whole.
Yes.
This movie does feel like all of it is wrestling, you know, not just the wrestling scene.
The wrestling scene.
I mean, there are literally shots
where
he is just like. There's a moment in one of the rounds where he's just punching Clubber so many times to the face. It's just like, do. Like, honestly, there was a moment when I was expecting it, like the movie to like speed up. Like,
yeah, I mean, it does. It's got like the Street Fighter sound effects for like the punches every time.
And like, yeah, you just hit like the right combo to like, yep, you're going to land.
Yeah, and it does. Eventually, the announcer says, finish him over Clubber Lang.
Like all there needed to be was like a combo meter, like 18, 19, 20, 21, 22,
23, 24,
25. Nice combo.
Quadruple. But then our good boy Rocky, he does it. He did it.
He beats him. Yeah, he knocks him out in the third round, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. It's pretty early still.
I think it's the third round. And unlike the other Rocky movies that end with him like crawling up to stand up after being just totally beaten, in this one he's on his feet and he's like doing little poses like, I've never felt better.
We did it, Adrian.
Yo, Adrian. But the real ending of the movie is, of course,
yes,
the romantic scene at the end.
Let's say it. The incredibly sexually charged
final.
There's a lot of greats that Rocky does. I think this might have one of the greatest movie epilogues.
Yeah.
It's really nice. I really enjoyed it.
It's in Creed, the first Creed movie. where someone was there to take that picture at the end because that picture is hanging in Rocky's restaurant in Creed.
Mickey's ghost was there.
And then they go like, and then he and Creed and Michael
dad.
B. Jordan asks, Stallone, like, who won that fight that night kind of thing? That legendary fight.
The legendary freeze frame fight.
Does he say that? I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, he says he did.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah. I need to watch that.
I want to watch Creed. Creed again.
Creed is a great movie.
I haven't seen it in like forever, like around the time it came out.
Sure.
It was Creed 2 good as well?
I don't remember 2
I enjoyed Creed 2. It leans a little more into Rocky 3 isms a little bit. It brings back
it's like an old or like the rival who's so hungry that with the edge.
Well, they bring back Dolph Lundgren. The Russian in the fourth movie. Wow. They bring him back and now it's his son. His son is a big fighter and he's training his son. And honestly, if I recall, it's been a long time since I've seen it, but Creed 2 almost kind of retroactively saves Rocky IV a little bit from complete parody. It humanizes that Dolph Lundgren character a little bit in Creed 2 by him having a son and the idea that Dolph Lundgren's character came back to Russia as a failure and he was kind of shunned and stuff. Like, they give him a little more dimension and character in Creed 2.
We should watch Creed, the Creeds.
Hey.
They're good.
The third one's cool.
I would say Creed 3 is probably the weakest one, but I remember thinking it was still
okay. No, there's cool stuff, and that's when Michael B. Jordan's doing, like, let's do anime in the...
Oh, yeah, because he directed that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
he did, okay.
And he is the anime guy, so that makes sense.
And the fight scenes are great in Creed 3.
I was just looking, because I was curious, like, how well did these do? And it's actually the most successful Rocky movie so far.
This number
Creed
3.
Well, at this time or in general?
Wait, Creed 3?
Creed 3 is, and with considering all of them, that's made the most. I mean, maybe not successful as far as like box budget to box office, but at least it's made the most.
Oh, but technically speaking,
yeah,
Creed
I'm guessing Creed 3's budget was higher than the budget for Rocky 3, which is reported at $17 million.
But Rocky 3 made $270 million. Yeah. It was one of the highest grossing movies.
To be fair,
year.
That was 1982. I don't think that's adjusted for inflation. So $17 million 1982 is probably what, like $1 billion.
Probably like a trillion, whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Rocky 3 was one of the, I think it was like, what was it? It was the fourth highest grossing film of the domestic box office in 82, and the second highest grossing film worldwide in 1982.
Damn. Yeah, the people were like,
it was
fuck
huge.
Yeah, Rocky 3.
So it was second only to E.T.
I could see this being popular. This feels like, I don't mean this in a bad way, it's a crowd pleaser. Like, I feel like this is
a
movie
of its time. You know?
I think the only thing is I could see a lot of more appealing to dudes than women.
You
maybe.
Don't say. A Rocky movie?
But Rocky and Apollo fuck at the end. That's some good.
But they have on-screen penetrative sex.
There's a lot to. There's obviously a lot to love here, regardless of your gender. I'm just saying, if we're talking butts in seats, I could see this demo skewing.
Well,
you know, if we're
going to
be fair to Stallone,
if you want, but you don't have to.
If we're going to be fair to Stallone, maybe he does have that right instinct. I mean, part of it is, I'm sure, is ego-driven, but he does maybe have that instinct, like, I don't know. Like, for instance, First Blood. First Blood came out later this year, and at the end of that movie, spoiler alert,
First Blood was
Rambo
this year?
Was supposed to die. Yes, Rambo is 1982,
crazy,
same
it was,
year.
I thought it was earlier. That's just nuts.
That's a hell
same
of a year,
year
for
out
Sylvester
later after Rocky 3, and at the end of that movie, Stallone Rambo was supposed to die. But Stallone, again, maybe part of ego, he's like, hey, I just had a big hit with Rocky 3. He's like, I don't know if you should kill this Rambo guy.
This is nuts because Rambo is almost like, it's like in your head, it's like Rocky 1. It's like a really like good, powerful movie.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. The first Rambo actually.
I mean, that's
like
kind of the story of Sylvester Stallone's career, is like starting these like really like interesting, thoughtful movies and then turning them into like parodies,
commercialized
like,
cartoons.
Until he.
Which makes Rocky 3 so interesting a movie, because it's talking about that, about, forgetting where you came from and stuff and falling into the world of, like, the rich and all that stuff. But weirdly, at the same time, the movie itself is like falling into commercialization.
Well, yes,
you know, it's strange.
Because as we've said, I think it is a fun movie that I really enjoyed, but it also is a movie that has no interest in critiquing like the rich or how money and power might corrupt someone. And
oh, there's a great like. Paulie, you gotta pull yourself up from your own bootstraps.
Yeah, he literally does say that. No one owes you nothing.
But yeah, but like you know, like we said, it is a very fucking entertaining movie.
It sure
like
is.
I had a blast with this movie. Frankly, I loved it, and I think it's a great way to start off the summer film season.
I agree. That's also how I've.
Someone that didn't really seem to like it, but I just think it's a really funny word choices that Pauline Kael gives of this movie. Can I read this?
Tell me. Give it to me, Pauline.
Does whatever oddball charm and silliness the first Rocky had is long gone. Rocky 3 starts with the hyped climax of 2 and then just keeps going on that level. It's packaged hysteria. The movie really works you over. So this kind of reminds me of like people talking about like Michael Bay or something like that.
I feel like I want to be like Quentin Tarantino. Like that's why it's so fun.
I know, exactly.
Like everything she's saying sounds great.
I know, exactly.
Like, it is.
It ends with the second one, and it just keeps going from those highs. It's packaged hysteria. It's awful. I hated it. Like what?
Yeah, she says you're pummeled by the noise and the rock music and the images of bodies being whammed. The pace
yeah, exactly.
is
Wham me, Stallone.
10 out of 10.
Give me more of those thighs.
I would love. Yeah. Give
You're
me
assaulted
more.
By Carl Weathers' beautiful thighs.
That's exactly.
Show me more
she
Carl
gets
Weathers'
there, actually,
big old arms and big old legs.
The pace is accelerated by a crude, hustling shorthand. Montages of Rocky in the ring defending his title against a series of contenders. Rocky doing commercials. Rocky with his family. Rocky's training intercut with the opponent's Clubber's training. And so on. And as the first Rocky was primitive in a relatively innocent way, this picture is primitive, but it's also shrewd and empty and inept. And then it goes written and directed by its star, Sylvester Stallone, with Carl Weathers, whose physique makes Rocky look like a lump. And then it gives a, and it gives a likable, unaffected performance and an actor called Mr. T as Clubber Lang.
Called Mr. T.
Yeah, pretty funny.
I like that. I want
Mr. T to like come at like a press conference that Pauline Kael's coming and then just berate her.
Be like, I'll kill you, Pauline. I do like that she had the aside about how hot Carl Weathers is.
makes
him look like a long lump.
I'll write a counter review for yours anytime, anywhere. You don't even have to pay me.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't believe it was inept. I think it was masterfully done.
I suppose you don't like the movie Tron either. It just came out.
I think she must have liked the first Rocky. I'm guessing that's what it sounds.
I mean, everyone did.
Yeah, everyone did.
It had grit. It had had.
It's a good movie.
It's a good one. It's yeah. Oh man.
But that said, like. It's almost the Rocky franchise is very interesting that it starts off as like this indie kind of prestige movie that wins
when
you watch that movie, you're like, Stallone is a great actor. Like people were saying at the time, like, oh, is he going to be like the new James Dean? You know what I mean? Like
I'm going to make $1 billion, baby.
I'm going to drive around in Model T golf carts. And spoiler alert for the fourth movie, I'm going to buy my son a robot.
I'm going to get a robot.
I know we're wrapping up, but there was a bit of trivia that this is mostly for Ryan. I wanted to. I feel like this is something that Ryan, you should keep in your back pocket.
Okay.
To
bring it up parties and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You're gonna be like look like a
to
cool dude
the
at parties. Jim Henson as Kermit the Frog did original dialogue. Like he is in this movie because when they do the Muppet Show thing, the original one, he was like, "Welcome, Sylvester Stallone, to the Muppet Show," but they redubbed it to where he says Rocky Balboa. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So this is an original Jim Henson as Kermit the Frog performance is in this movie.
Nice.
Incredible.
That's
incredible.
Great.
Wow.
So this is
I was just saying, like, I think it's incredible that this franchise hits both highs of being like an indie legit drama, but also being like, you know, commercial, like big budget movie.
Such a shorthand for like, oh yeah, big montage, like you know, popcorn.
I mean, this movie Rocky, it's Jaws and Rocky that end the new Hollywood era, basically.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like it is interesting in a meta context, like this movie kind of hits on a little bit.
So,
yeah.
Of this, like, where this is this, like, even though Rocky was 76, it's really the start of, like,
I mean, and I think, like, to go to our theme a bit, like, 82, I think this is solidifying a template of what then 80s movie could be.
One, like, might say the tentpole.
Yeah.
It's like a very, it's a off, type. Like,
this is,
like,
May. This is the beginning of the summer movie season when this comes out. This comes out in May of 82.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, any final thoughts on Rocky III?
Literally, no thoughts, head empty, Carl Weathers, so hot.
I wanted him to fight Clubber, honestly, at the end. I'm like, why can't he fight Clubber?
I wanted him to throw a punch at someone, you know, but it's fine.
Someone should make a movie about the Creed family.
About the Creed family and maybe various generational issues there.
Oh. You know, honestly, it's a shame that he spoiled... Well, if you've seen Creed, you know. Apollo Creed dies in the fourth movie. He gets killed by
I knew that.
Dolph Lundgren, Ivan Drago. I was going to say, like, it's a shame he dies in that movie because, like, I would love to see him paired up with Michael B. Jordan in the Creed movies.
Michael B. Jordan, cool.
He should have, in the third one, he should have, like, Force Ghost fought him or something.
Really should have.
Well, honestly, Carl Weathers technically isn't in the movie, but I remember a really cool scene in the first Creed when Michael B. Jordan is, like, shadow boxing against footage of his dad fighting.
Oh, yeah.
It's like he's fighting his dad. Like, that was so... You know that Ryan Coogler's
a... Yeah, we should watch Creed.
He's a pretty good director.
We're watching Creed. We're doing it.
Definitely. I'm going to watch Creed after this.
It's going on. Needless to say,
Rocky III, good movie.
Good movie.
Yeah, pretty good. It's hard to beat those other ones, but it's a pretty entertaining sequel, for sure.
I think it's like a really...
As a crowd pleaser, it's hard to do better.
It's a really good-looking movie, too. I mean, we mentioned that, but I think it's worth repeating. Like, it's a beautiful movie.
It's the bridge to Saturday morning cartoon, Rocky.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And I know that we mentioned the dozen-plus times that the song Eye of the Tiger is played. I don't think we mentioned how many times Carl Weathers, as Apollo Creed, says the words, Eye of the Tiger.
Eye of the Tiger.
He does, yeah.
Remember, Rock? Eye of the Tiger. It's great every time.
Well, it's like, which came first, the song or that line in the script? And then Survivor's like, what if we just made that the song?
Ooh, that comes up, 17 times. Should we use that in the song? That's very evocative. Eye of the Tiger, yeah. Good stuff.
What about you, Mike? Would you recommend Rocky III?
Yes.
Yes.
My prediction?
Yes.
I do recommend Rocky III.
Yes, I do. Well, when the summer of 82 continues, we'll be looking at the other underdog story, a little gal named Annie.
Oh. Who learns how to fight?
Who learns how to fight? Yes.
Annie, you gotta kill them before they kill you.
I can't wait to see what the climactic fight of Annie looks like compared to Rocky III.
I'll adopt you anytime, any place.
Oh my god, Annie's just walked into the store. She's threatening us.
She's got her gloves on. Standing at 4 feet, 0 inches. And 82 pounds. Annie!
I keep going to stop the recording.
Sorry.
No.